Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No Doubt continues now. This is Need the Broadcast for May 13th. In the year of our Lord, 2016, this is hour two of two. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We believe in the checks and balances set forth by the founding fathers, brilliant in the solution to the problems we face. Hope you're all doing well. This is a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. Kurt Crosby's with me, and we're talking about Sam picks up the phone and returns Beth Reinhard's call. Beth Reinhard reached out to James Edwards. I got the email and responded to it because I syndicate James's show and because the interview was more about my show than it was about James. Unless you want to manipulate the narrative, then it's all about James. And then it's all about tying James to crazy statements that he doesn't even agree with. And no matter how many times James tells you he doesn't agree, you still push that narrative. And then Sam tries to send an open letter to everybody and their dog, an open letter to Donald Trump Sr. to set the record straight. And golly, no one got a copy of that memo. Beth Reinhard, by the way, just so you know, is the national politics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. All right, Kurt, any other comments on that before we move along?
I don't think so. Right. But it is interesting, you know, I mean, at least to me, you know, this whole deal of, wow, these people that work in those high places like the Wall Street Journal or whatever, they're, of course, not to be even be questioned about their authenticity in their, you know, research and all that kind of stuff. And once again, as you've taught us for so many times, he who owns the media makes the rules.
Well, I'm starting to own more and more and more of the media the more I talk to these people, because you know what?
That's right.
Beth knows the truth now, and the question is, what will she print? She said she was going to print her article on Saturday or Monday probably, or something like that. What is she going to print? Is she going to print that I said we're all God's children and that I do not believe that the white race is superior, or that somehow, you know, there's this white supremacist lie going around? I don't believe that, folks, and I told her clearly that I don't. Is she going to print that? Is she going to print the fact that I said James and I agree on that? Or what is she going to do? See?
What do you expect?
Oh, I expect that she'll ignore a lot of my quotes, ignore 99% of what we talked about, and she'll write a couple of unique quotes from James's website, or she'll try to guilt by association tie James to maybe a David Duke or a somebody else. Not that I'm here to disavow David Duke either. I'm just making a point. She'll try to tie it to somebody else's statements in some other way. She'll try to use something in James's website taken out of context to use against him, and she'll probably ignore me except for a line or two that kind of hints that she talked to me. You know, she might say James replied back with a snarky comment. She might quote James there because her effort would want you to believe that Sam and James were incredibly hostile, kind of thing. I don't expect that she'll write anything honest or praiseworthy. However, even though that's what I think, if she does write something positive or fair or honest, I'll be the first to get on the radio and give her credit and praise her, Kurt. Remember, there was a gal at the Politico. I can't remember her name even right now. But she got the story all wrong because she believed in the Media Matters lies and she didn't do her own research like she should have. And I called her up and beat her up for not doing her own research and then talked to her and explained to her the truth and pushed her to print a retraction. Now, they don't call them retractions. They call them corrections. They don't let you review the articles before they release them. See, this is the way the media has learned just to manipulate their narrative even further. Nevertheless, she did print a retraction slash correction. And I got on the radio and commended her for at least having the integrity to do that. Because she, you know what? She didn't have to do that. she learned more of the story, and she was willing to honorably deal with the rest of the story. And she, you know, and so all I'm telling you is she did the best she could in the circumstances in the newsrooms she finds herself in. She doesn't control whether they print a retraction or a correction, and she's just doing the story for the editor, and she doesn't really even have a final say in what gets included as an author, by the way. So, but I gave her credit and commended her and said, you know what? Good for her for doing that. And so I hope that Beth Reinhard takes into account some of the things that I said about me and about James and about my open letter to Donald Trump and puts it into perspective when it comes to the attack pieces about us. But let me give you an example, Kurt, before we move on from this subject entirely, of an absolutely manipulated, dishonest piece. I mean, absolutely perverted, dishonest piece that was written by the New York Times. It just came up today in the New York Times. I write to James as I tell him about the story, and I say, read carefully. Bill Johnson is mentioned. Wow, how dishonest can it get? Strange how they put this together. It ties Bill to David Duke and ties Bill to Donald Trump's underling. All right, headline, Kurt. Ex-Trump butler makes vulgar anti-Obama posts. Stories written by Daniel Victor, V-I-C-T-O-R, for the New York Times, okay? Ex-Trump butler makes vulgar anti-Obama posts. Now, there's the butler in Florida that worked for Trump for years. In fact, Trump liked this guy so much that even after he didn't need him, he kind of made sure that he stayed around. Trump liked him that much and everything. And now the Trump campaign is standing against everything that this butler guy says, okay? But the butler guy making some very, very, in my opinion, unacceptable statements, and I will disavow this butler because, remember I told you, it's about issues, not about people. The butler can think what he wants to think. But the Secret Service said it will investigate Donald Trump's longtime butler over Facebook posts laced with vulgarity and comments that Barack Obama will be killed. The racially tinged comments by the butler, Anthony Senecal, that's his name, Anthony Senecal, were unearthed by Mother Jones. By the way, that's a liberal rag if I've ever seen one. And it referred to Barack Obama, who's a Kenyan fraud and who should be hung for treason. With the last breath I draw, I will help rid. I guess society of this scum. Now, I disagree completely with Seneca on this. I don't care what he thinks. You know what? You don't have the right to say that kind of stuff. That you cross the line. It's out of line. It's unacceptable. And I unequivocally stand against these comments. Okay? So the butler, the former butler of Donald Trump, Anthony Senecal, or whatever, okay, then what they do is they tell you what Anthony wrote. The Secret Service said that it's aware of this matter, and they will conduct the appropriate investigation. Fine. But then it says this, Hope Hicks, and she's a piece of work. She's the lady that ignored my open letter to Donald Trump after her campaign disavows us, right? She said, we totally and completely disavow the comments of Seneca, which I agree with her. Now, Mr. Seneca did not immediately respond to a telephone call. Now, that's another way the mainstream press manipulates it. Why does Seneca, you know, have a response to immediately reply to the media, you know? Then they talk about the associations with Donald Duke. So now Trump supports association with and support for the Seneca guy and David Duke, okay? So it's trying to tie Donald Trump, the David Duke, trying to tie Donald Trump to the views of this guy that used to work for the Donald. And then it gets worse. I'll tell you about it. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Do you want to fix America's police and take the country back in the process? If you answered yes, then CSPOA needs you. CSPOA.org, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, is an organization comprised of citizens, sheriffs, police, and other government officials. We are taking America back sheriff by sheriff, county by county, and state by state. And we need you. Over 300 sheriffs constitutionally trained. We teach public servants the Constitution and need your help. Become a part of the solution today at CSPOA.org. Are you a business owner who offers high-quality products, services, or solutions? Do you love America and want your business to support a freedom-loving cause that will help defend the Constitution? Well, if the above describes your company, then I want to connect you with my loyal and like-minded listeners. Contact me at RestoreTheRepublicShow.com, and I will personally consult with you to build a sponsorship package that will grow your business. Support a message of freedom and become a sponsor of the Restore the Republic Show today. Together, we will restore the Republic.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items for my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So I'm firing back at the dishonest reporting by the New York Times, ladies and gentlemen. They're talking about Anthony Seneca, who happened to be a former ex-butler for Donald Trump. And what they say is Donald Trump is under scrutiny for his ties to the former butler and the comments that he made about Barack should be hung. Okay, Barack should be drugged from the whatever and hung and this stuff. I don't even want to get into the details because I don't want to be guilty of echoing this stuff. But nevertheless, in this article, the New York Times ties Trump to the comments of this Mr. Seneca guy that said that Barack should be hung. By the way, I completely disavow statements like this. But then it says Trump is under scrutiny for the support and the associations with this Seneca guy. And then with David Duke. And then It says this innocent statement. So Trump has enjoyed support from the former Ku Klux Klan leader, David Duke. By the way, David Duke has disavowed the Ku Klux Klan. But they don't mention that. There's no repentance in their minds or change. But then they say this innocent but not so innocent statement. On Tuesday, Mr. Trump's aides said that a technical glitch that included William Johnson, a self-proclaimed white nationalist, on a list of California delegates they submitted to the Secretary of State of California's office. Then they say Mr. Seneca worked 30 years for Trump, and I know everything about Trump. Anyway, the reason I bring all this up is because why are they inserting that one statement about Bill Johnson in this New York Times report? And the answer is because what they want to do is they want to tie Trump to Seneca, the guy that worked for him. They want to tie the guy that worked for him to David Duke and to Bill Johnson, to James Edwards, and then to me and you and everybody else. And they want to create this guilt by association, divide and conquer America. That's the problem. That's the big problem, Kurt, that I see here. Because you put the statement where the Seneca guy wants to hang Barack and basically kill Barack, right? But yet Bill Johnson's mixed in with that? How does that work? And see, that's the game they play, Kurt. And that's why I'm so angry about this dishonest reporting. These people are going to get people killed if they're not careful with their manipulated prose. Any comment on that, Kurt?
When I look at the, situation, for example, you see these Trump rallies and these pretty, in some cases, violent protests by the guys that are, ticked off about it. In my opinion, it's interesting how, for example, with the Oklahoma City bombing, we were told that, hey, talk radio was who caused that. That kind of thing. You've seen those kind of inferences done, and yet, you don't hear any of these kind of wild-eyed statements being pointed at and said, you guys are causing this violence against, for example, the Trump campaign or whatever. It's just interesting how, on the one hand, they can use it to say, hey, you guys, it's your talk that puts people over the edge, so that's why we have this bombing. Whereas if they do the same kind of thing, or even worse, in my opinion, like you were talking about, then, hey, there's, no repercussions there. There's no, it wasn't their fault, if you will.
I think you're right, Curtin. I'm just mad about it because, again, this guilt by association, the suggestion that Bill Johnson somehow supports and or believes in and or is somehow associated with some guy that wants to, hang Barack from the high gallows. And to tie Trump to that is absolutely wicked and wrong. They didn't say that is any views of Bill. They just put it in there as if these guys are all together. That's the dishonesty that I'm talking about. They didn't go libel here. They didn't go to the point where they could be sued, because all they said was Bill Johnson was, wrongly accepted as a delegate, etc. But it's put in the middle of everything about this Seneca guy and everything about hanging Barack and killing Barack and these crazy rants from some guy that I don't even know who Seneca is, Kurt. I've never even heard of Tony Seneca or Anthony Seneca until we found out that he worked for Trump for a long time in Trump's Florida, whatever. Okay, but what does the comments by that guy have anything to do with Bill Johnson about? The answer is nothing. except for they can create this guilt by association. They can create this toxic manipulation with their ever-increasing hostility. The problem about it is at what point does the Secret Service start looking into Bill if they're going to look into Seneca and Trump and then maybe James Edwards and then maybe you and I and then pretty soon maybe the guy that just called in last hour and pretty soon see where we go? It's crazy. Okay? I stand against violence to anyone. I stand against any kind of abuse to any of God's children. I stand for peace. I stand for the olive branch of a clarion call for civility. Okay? But no matter how many times I say that, these people are like, ah, you're the syndicator of James Edwards. That's the white supremacist guy who's tied to Bill Johnson, who's tied to David Duke, who's tied to Donald Trump, who's tied to Seneca, who wants to hang Barack. See, these guys are crazy. And so I've just decided that, you know what, if the mainstream press wants to play that game, you know, we can play that hardcore game too. Jake Tapper, I mean, he hangs out with guys like Bill Johnson, you know? And this wonderful news reporter that wanted to get a hold of James Edwards, Beth Reinhard, she's trying to hang out with James, isn't she, Kurt? I mean, she called him on the phone. She tried to get, or she emailed him and said, call me. I mean, a girl emailing James and saying, call me. Now, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, there's no suggestion that she meant anything like that. But see, if I want to manipulate what was done, this lady tries to get a married man to call her back. See how we can manipulate that if we try? That's what they're doing. Now, by the way, Beth Reinhard's call was totally appropriate. She wasn't out of line at all. I'm just making a point that, you know what? That's how they manipulate things. Why would you put this statement about Bill in that story? All about this Seneca guy. All about the Secret Service investigating him. All about the hostilities towards Barack Obama because he's a black man. See how racially tinged it becomes. See how that guilt by association just starts to grow wings, if you will. But it was innocently inserted, Kurt. It was, you know, it was just an offhanded comment that's in the news today. That's how they play. And I reject it, Kurt. I really reject it. All right, Facebook in the news for a similar kind of manipulative news reality, huh, Kurt?
Well, that's the way I see it, Sam. It's certainly connected to, you know, this whole he who owns the media makes the rules. You know, they're dealing with some stuff there at Facebook, and as Rush Limbaugh calls them, fake book. You know, they basically come under some kind of a little probe, but now, in other words, they've had some insiders there say that, hey, when they do their little news trending things, if it's a conservative thing or some kind of pro-constitutional or whatever, that they edit it out, if you will. Now, imagine the media censoring certain things and promoting certain things.
Hold on a minute, my friend. We got to talk about this. We'll vet it in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live. Sam and Kurt on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Salem, Oregon is at the other end of the continent from New York City, but Oregon State Representative Val Hoyle's campaign to become Oregon Secretary of State has attracted the interest of former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Representative Hoyle has received a $250,000 campaign donation from Bloomberg, in large measure because of her role in passing Oregon's 2015 firearms background check law. No one in the country has worked harder or more successfully to take on the NRA than she has, Bloomberg spokesman Howard Wolfson said of Representative Hoyle, who faces a May 17th primary against two other Democratic contenders. Hoyle also received $100,000 from the feminist PAC Emily's List. This placed her in the fundraising lead over Labor Commissioner Brad Avakian and State Senator Richard Devlin. The Bloomberg donation drew criticism from Devlin, who pointed out that Hoyle has claimed she would battle the influence of big money in Oregon politics. Even more disturbing, Devlin told the Register Guard newspaper, is that this $250,000 check is an admitted direct payment for a single piece of legislation. Earlier this year, the Oregon State Legislature, one of the most progressive in the country, enacted a three-tiered statewide minimum wage law, $14.75 an hour in Portland, $13.50 an hour for suburbs, and $12.50 an hour for rural communities. The legislature specified that the prevailing rate will be determined by the location of the employer, that is, the address where employees report for work. State Labor Commissioner Brad Avakian is rewriting that legislation in what one state senator calls a bureaucratic bait and switch. Commissioner Avakian is going in a direction that was put off limits by sponsors and proponents of the bill by preparing to define the minimum wage by the location where work occurs, protests State Senator Ted Friuli in a recent op-ed column for the Argus Observer newspaper. This would require GPS-like tracking of an employee's location to determine how much they get paid. Avakian's administrative guidelines for enforcing the state's minimum wage laws demonstrates that, quote, he has no respect for the rule of law, only the rule of Avakian, declares Senator Friuli. Avakian, who is presently running for Oregon Secretary of State, is also facing a legal challenge to the $135,000 punitive damage award he imposed on bakers Aaron and Melissa Klein for declining to prepare a wedding cake for a lesbian couple. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, we're talking about the manipulators in the news. They're dishonest as all get out. The New York Times article, absolutely hostile to the truth, in my humble opinion. It's like, wow. What are they thinking?
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, you know, that's how they roll, Kurt. Now, this Facebook issue, in my opinion, smacks of the same manipulation.
And what was interesting to me, Sam, is I was reading the, I think it was FT.com where I saw the piece, and talking about Facebook, or as Rush Limbaugh calls it, fake book, you know, and their trending news section and this whole idea that they kind of censor certain guys, censor certain things that would be trending and others where most people think that, hey, if you just say you like it, it's just going to kind of move that particular thing up. Well, yeah, that is if somebody doesn't edit it out, you know, for you. But I saw there was a little part in there.
Well, it's hard to like something you don't get, right, Kurt?
That's right. Yeah, especially when you're thinking that, hey, it's all about what everybody sees and what they like and that you can kind of see these things, but the fact is there's a Wizard of Oz behind the scenes who, you know, will censor certain things. But there was a little part in there where it said, it talked about a senator, John Thune, you know, sent in a letter. And I thought, well, that's a real interesting piece. So I sent you a second little email with that part in there. And then I was reading down Liberty News Daily, and I found out that, hey, already we had that little section that I didn't hear it anywhere else, about this senator sending this letter to the Facebook or, you know, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg. And he was asking about these allegations of political censorship in the trending news section. And now, apparently, you know, they say that question may not be within the constitutional purview of the Senate, but voters might take interest in the fact that Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign is the largest beneficiary of campaign donations from Facebook employees, where she got $114,000. The second largest recipient, Marco Rubio, pulled in about $16,000. And the FT story even mentions one of our favorite congressmen. I think he's your congressman. He might even be mine. I kind of hate to say that, but he pulled in some cash from the Facebook boys as well, Sam.
Well, and that's kind of the problem, Curtis. They're really all on the dole.
Mr. Jason Chaffetz.
Right? I mean, they're all taking in the cash from everywhere. And that's why I say it's just so hard to even know who's who. And all these people are so compromised. But Facebook launches conservative censorship probe. High-quality global journalism requires.
Yeah.
Censorship, large investment, huh? Now, let me understand. Who are these allegations about, Kurt?
Well,
just answer. It's not a trick question.
They're saying
the allegations are about Facebook, right?
Yes.
And who's doing the investigating?
Facebook.
Oh, good. Okay, now I'm feeling better already.
It's just like when the Justice Department is doing something evil, then they're going to investigate it. Or Congress is doing something bad, then they're going to have a committee to check into that for us.
Now, we mentioned that Jeff Bezos is after Trump, the big CEO of Amazon is after Trump. But now Trump fires back, Kurt.
Well, and he's not known for kind of sitting back when somebody takes him on. And this is, kind of his way of doing it, I think. I guess he says that the Washington Post owner, Bezos, has a huge, what's called, antitrust problem. Now, I don't know if you want to analyze that or, kind of break it down, but I think that's a veiled threat that tells Mr. Bezos that, hey, if you're going to play this kind of stuff with all your pieces of the pie, the Washington Post and the Amazon and all the different things that Bezos controls, look out for the, quote, Justice Department if I'm running things, huh? At least to me, that's
right.
Kind of what it says.
Well, it's like I'm going to be president, and you might have a big old antitrust problem, my friend.
Yeah.
Now, very strange. Everybody's got ties that are interesting. An example of this, to make the point, is Hillary Clinton, Kurt. Now, as you know, Hillary Clinton is being investigated for her email fraud and scandals, where she had her own private server, and she leaked classified information everywhere and all this kind of stuff, right?
Right.
So the Justice Department's supposed to be looking into Hillary big time.
Yes.
But headline says, Hillary nets huge donation windfall from the Justice Department, Kurt.
Yeah. So these are the guys, and this is a piece from Liberty News Daily, by the way. These are the guys that are checking into her, but they've also contributed $75,000 in political contributions from the employees at the Department of Justice. So, I don't know. You're just doubtful that they're really going to dig into her very much. And this is according to the Washington Free Beacon. They were doing the study about it. But, I doubt the same guys who are hoping she'll win the presidency are going to bring her up on felony charges. Do you?
No.
Yeah, it's probably less of a possibility.
Well, and the problem with it is, what are we going to do? How's there going to be accountability? There's already a conflict of interest, to say the least.
Yeah, good point.
And you got Jeff attacking the Donald. Wow. All right. I thought that was worth talking about, Kurt. But I'm just sick of this dishonest reporting.
Are you?
And I'm sick of this guilt by association only for the conservatives. Okay? Barack can basically hang out with the Black Panthers and promote Black Lives Matters and hang out with Acorn. No egg on his face. Hillary can literally hang out with the Justice Department and get donations from Justice Department employees while they're investigating her for fraud. And no one brings that up at all. And then Sam Bushman interviews Donald Trump Jr. and they're like, wow, this guy's hanging out with racists. It's like, what? Okay, it's just amazing the stuff we see in the news. And the more influential we get in terms of people hearing our narrative, understanding who we are, the more they just go absolutely belligerent on us. Okay? They claim the stories are about Trump, but then why are they calling James and me, and why are they doing all these different things? Well, they don't really want to talk to Sam Bushman because it's hard to really claim he's a racist. They don't really want to talk to Sam Bushman because Sam Bushman won't cower down and back down. Sam will take them on. Sam will call them up and read them the Riot Act. Sam will threaten to sue them. Sam will, because I will, if they continue to push this libel and this slander and this abuse and this wrong-headed reporting, this evil intent stuff, I'm telling you right now, I won't take it laying down. Because it's dishonest and it's wrong. Well, Kurt, you know there's a big battle between North Carolina on this restroom thing and the Target thing and everything else. Well, now the White House jumps right in the middle of it again. Obama admin to direct government schools to let transgender students use bathroom of their choice. Now, the mainstream press goes on and tells you, Kurt, that they're not making law. They can't make law. They can just give suggestions. However, they're saying that if states don't go along with the latest agenda-driven manipulation by the White House, the president does have the authority to pull funds. So states, your funding is on the line from the federal government about education unless you let kids go in the bathroom of their choice. You want to respond to this, Kurt?
Well, how does this thing work? You know, Congress is the guys, they're the people who are supposed to be the, you know, purse string holders.
Yeah.
So they, after they vote for the thing, I guess they put money in it, in a, some kind of an envelope for North Carolina, and then they send it to the president, and he holds it, you know, whatever the state is. If they're not doing what they're supposed to, he holds it, doesn't put a stamp on it, and send it to them? Is that how that whole thing
in
works?
In general, yes. It's a little more complicated than that, but in general, that's the answer, Kurt.
I mean, it's just like nuts.
Now, Congress now, what I should think sue they, the president over it, but here's the problem, Kurt. When you violate the law, there should be no money going from the federal government to the states in the first place.
Right.
So when you violate the law, you say, what are the rules? Well, there are no rules for criminals, my friend.
That's right. The North Carolinians ought to just tell all their citizens to quit sending in federal money. And then,
yeah, that's a battle. The states are too chicken to take on to this point, but you're correct, sir. Quick pause, Liberty Roundtable Live.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that young living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, there's a lot of headlines on this, Kurt. The first one, Obama admin to direct government schools to let transgender students use the bathroom of their choice. Feds serve notice on transgender bathrooms. The U.S. Department of Education will tell government school districts today that federal law requires them to allow students to use restrooms and locker rooms consistent with their gender identity. And I'm submitting to you lies and more lies from the Fed. There's no federal law that says you gotta let a man walk into a woman's restroom. The lie, ladies and gentlemen, will be sent to all government schools that receive federal funding. Listen, including 16,500 school districts, 7,000 colleges, universities, and trade schools, as well as charter schools, for-profit schools, libraries, and museums. Kurt, they are taking off the gloves to force this transgender agenda down our throats. And if there's ever a time to tell the governments to get off the federal, the state governments to get off the federal dole, this is the time. If there's ever a time to stop the federal government from belligerent overreach and nullify now, this is the time. If there's ever a time to stop the government from their lies, what do you mean it's against the law? To deny someone of the opposite sex to enter a bathroom, a restroom, a changing area, a locker room, or whatever, of the opposite sex. Since when? Point the law to me, Attorney General. Point the law to me, admin at the Government Education Department. Point the law to me, Barack. There is no law that they speak of, Kurt. It's a lie.
Well, yeah, but it's easier if you just make it up as you go, Sam.
Straight from the pit of hell, it's a lie, Kurt.
You got to understand. You just, you know, I was looking at this one piece from Liberty News Daily. It says, Fort Worth Public Schools to have trans-friendly bathrooms. And then it says, Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick has demanded the resignation of Dr. Kent Scribner, superintendent of the Fort Worth Independent School District, after the district announced a policy allowing self-identified transgender students to use bathrooms corresponding to their subjective gender identity rather than their biological sex. You know, I guess the you know, the guy, Patrick, also elaborated, he says, the superintendent is so irresponsible to do this that he needs to step down. Well, then they quote in the article, Dr. Ann Sutherland, she's a member of the district board, and she reported receiving an avalanche. You know, there's an avalanche in Texas. You don't hear that much. But avalanche of complaints from parents that were not allowed to comment on the issue before the policy was imposed.
Hold on. Why the heck do they think parents should be able to comment?
Yeah, good point. She says there have been dozens of very angry responses from parents. This came out of the blue. It wasn't announced on an agenda or anything. But anyway, the superintendent Scribner hasn't responded to any requests for comment. Surprise.
But I want to go on about this. If there's ever a time to nullify now by the states, Kurt, this is it. If there's a time to say we're not taking your funding, then we show how manipulative and how politically agenda-driven you are, how hostile you are to the traditional family, to God, family, country, to everything we hold dear. It's also a time for parents to cut bait from the government schools and say, you know what?
Yes.
If that's the way it is in my government cesspool, I'm out. Yeah. I'm not going to put my kids in there any longer. We're just not doing it. And listen to me carefully, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to me very carefully. This is a perfect example of a moral issue where if we the people do nothing, they will steamroll over us. And they will have their way. And we will lose more ground, we'll distance ourselves further from God's laws, and we will reap the whirlwind as a consequence. On the other hand, Kurt, if enough Americans stand up, if enough Americans get involved, we can turn this thing around. If we took that 1.2 million Americans who signed the American Family Association petition against Target, the Target boycott, and they all started putting a dollar a day in, we had a war chest of $1.2 million a day to deal with this. We could say, hey, we're going to fund private education with this $1.2 million a day. And we're going to tell the government to fly a kite and tell the states to wise up and not take the money. But you see, it takes Americans who care. It takes Americans who are educated. It takes Americans who are moral. It takes Americans who put their money where their mouth is and say, hey, the founding fathers put their lives, their honor, and their sacred honor and their fortunes on the line for these principles. We're going to do a mere dollar a day. We're going to take action. We're going to take action now. Just imagine if $1.2 million was raised every single day into the future and we said, we reject your federal forced bureaucratic lies. We will not tolerate it anymore. We are encouraging the states to get off the dole now. And we're going to fund private education. We're going to take down the education system over this. You people are absolutely crazy. We will not let you do this to our children. We draw the line in the sand peacefully now. But what do you expect to happen, Kurt?
I think most of them will just, roll over and keep taking the federal money. But I hope for a group, I would expect some Western states and I hope a bunch of Southern states will just say, this is, you're just way too far here, folks. And I hope that they will just realize that they have the power of, they can nullify these activities. You know, that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, I agree with you. I hope some states have some backbone, like you said, but I just don't see it. Okay, I just don't see people standing up in America anymore. I mean, I can't raise $5, by the way, we're trying to go to the Republican National Convention, and we need people to donate to the cause to help us go. Donate at libertyroundtable.com. Kurt, it's probably going to cost us $6,000 to go to the National Republican Convention. You say, Sam, why on earth do you need so much money? Well, because the way the government does it. They've created a market where all the hotels are sold out. They want $300 a night for a hotel, Kurt. They also want to charge us a couple of $1,000s for just a booth to broadcast live from the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio at the Cavaliers Arena or whatever it is. Okay, but to go is expensive as could be. It's going to probably cost us $6,000 to go. We're trying to raise the money to go. Anybody who's willing to donate to that effort, send us a donation and say, we want you to go to the convention. And we'll know what it's for. We'll put the money in a kitty to go. But, Kurt, I mean, I've looked at plane flights. It's expensive to fly to Cleveland. Even the airlines know that people are trying to go to the convention and has raised their rates. If I look at alternative routes, flights are inexpensive. If I look at this one, flights are expensive. I've even tried to go to alternate cities, and every airport in Cleveland's expensive. I mean, I'm sorry, in Ohio is expensive. It's just amazing. But it will be really expensive for us to go, but we're trying to raise money to go to the Republican National Convention. We believe it'll be a very interesting event, to say the least, a historical reality that we want to report on the ground from. We'll dial into radio programs like Joyce Riley and give an update on her show. We'll do our show live from there, Kurt, etc. Maybe we'll interview this next guy that just became a Trump delegate, Kurt. Think we can get him on the air with us?
Peter Thiel.
You got to tell people the headline.
Well,
Peter Thiel
becomes
good point. Trump delegate.
Yeah, and you say, who's this guy? Well, you know, he's the original PayPal investor. Earlier in the primary season, the political primary season, he donated a couple million bucks to Carly Fiorina's super PAC. And so now he's a Trump delegate. You know, earlier in the 2012 presidential campaign, he supported Ron Paul's bid. Now he's, I guess back in 2014, he didn't have very kind things to say about Trump. He called him, that his run or whatever, or that Donald Trump was sort of symptomatic of everything that's wrong with New York City. It looks like he's changing his tune, you know.
A lot of people are now. They see the writing on the wall, Kurt.
Yeah, they call him a self-described libertarian, Peter Thiel, T-H-I-E-L, and a tech billionaire. So, you know, I mean, his vote counts for a lot, I think, you know.
Especially his vote there. With money.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, yeah. I just find the whole thing fascinating.
Yep.
Now, Peter Thiel's a lot of the thing about this guy, too, is he's quite libertarian. He's the guy that wants to put, like,
some little city in the ocean
together.
Or whatever.
Cities in the ocean or whatever. Yeah. You'd have these seagoing vessels that you would virtually live on, you know. And so since you're in, quote, international waters, you could make up your own rules. And it's kind of a libertarian panacea idea. I'm not saying I'd be for it. I'm just telling you that. All right. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Liberty Roundtable live in the can. All I can tell you is have a delightful weekend. Please fill it with events relating to God, family, and country, and get your kids out of the government school, for crying out loud. This nation shall endure.